Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Lamentation and to chapter 3 of the book of Lamentation. I'm going to read verses 1 through 27 of the book of Lamentation. You can hear the name of the, or the topic of the book, lament, in the title of the book. Lamentation, the third chapter. And I'm going to read verses 1 through verse 27. Lamentation chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. I am a man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He hath turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stones. He hath made my paths crooked. He was to me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine afflictions and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. Let us bow for prayer. Father, now by your Holy Spirit, may you open this passage to us. For Lord, there are great, vital, painful, and blessed lessons for us to learn from this passage of Scripture. Teach us thy way, O Lord. Lead us in the path everlasting. Cause us to rejoice in you. Forgive us for our doubt. And increase our faith, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, that's a pretty dark passage we just read. It ends on a high note, but it's a dark passage. This book of Lamentation was written by the prophet Jeremiah. It was written sometime around 580 to 590, 580 to 590 years before the birth of Christ. The book of Jeremiah begins about 45 to 47 years earlier We're familiar with the beginning of Jeremiah, where God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth, I ordained thee a prophet to the nations." And Jeremiah says, "I can't speak for my, I'm a child." And God says, "Don't say you're a child." Jeremiah probably was 17 or 18 years old at the beginning of the book of Jeremiah when God called him. We don't know exactly. Scripture doesn't tell us, but we can kind of take the events and look historically at when certain kings were in power and piece it together to come up with a fairly good timeline of the age of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. As I mentioned before, this book is Lamentations. It's a lament. Jeremiah was the last prophet to Judah before the destruction of Jerusalem. By the time the book of Lamentation is written, the northern kingdom is already gone. Israel, the northern kingdom, has already disappeared from history. We talk about the 10 lost tribes. They were already lost. They hadn't been lost long, but they had ceased from existence by the time that Jeremiah is writing the book of Lamentation. And so he's writing to the southern kingdom, that which was left to David in the house of David, in the divided kingdom. And yet Jeremiah's prophecy is a prophecy of destruction. It's a prophecy of doom. The book of Jeremiah foretells the destruction of Jerusalem. And the book of Lamentation follows that destruction with a sad and grievous lament. We're going to consider Jeremiah this morning. As our brother mentioned in Sunday school, Scripture is replete with godly men who had a lot of problems and who did their best to stand for truth, but they didn't always stand on top of the world. There were times when they had some dark days. So by way of introduction to this passage, I would like to turn you to the book of James. And you don't need to turn if you take me a moment. I'll read the verses for you. But if you want to turn, it's James 5, verses 10 and 11. These are the two verses that I read for our call to worship this morning. And I did so very deliberately. There in James 5 and verse 10, we find this. "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience." You don't think about suffering, affliction, and patience in the same sentence, do you? "But they patiently suffered affliction." Verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, and of tender mercies." Now we think of that word pitiful as, oh, that's pitiful. That dog is pitiful. He's skin and bones. He's mangy. He's a pitiful dog. That child is pitiful. He's poorly clothed and doesn't have enough food. But this word pitiful means full of pity. Mm-hmm. We have seen the end of the Lord. Yeah, the Lord's got a good end for all of our problems. Mm. The Lord has a good end for all of our trials. Mm. And it mentions Job in the verse. You've heard of the patience of Job, and we've seen the end of the Lord. That Job, when he endured trials, God blessed him with double what he had before. We've seen the end of the Lord, that Jehovah is full of pity, and he's merciful. And that's what we're going to learn from this book of Lamentation. If you go back to the book of Lamentation and look at chapter 1 and the first three verses. Lamentation chapter 1 and starting with verse 1. Here Jeremiah is speaking of the city of Jerusalem and he says, "How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people?" The people have gone into captivity. "How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes among the provinces, how is she become a tributary?" In other words, how is it that others now rule over her and she pays taxes to a foreign government? "She wept sore in the night and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of a great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathens. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. And look down at verse 8. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backwards. The first thing that we're going to see here about Jeremiah is Jeremiah dwelt in a time of utter disaster. His 401k is gone. His Social Security that he paid for years, it's gone. His stocks in IBM don't mean anything anymore. His house is destroyed. And his nation has gone into servitude. Israel was the superpower. Under Solomon, it reached a great zenith of power, and the world paid tribute to Solomon. But now Jerusalem is destroyed. And now those that once were her allies despise her. They've seen her nakedness. They've seen her shame. And she is destroyed. Now folks, the United States is not mentioned in Scripture. It is not there. It is not found in prophecy. And yet, folks, I think a lot of us can see our same own nation going the same way. Jeremiah dwelt in the time when it had already happened. When Washington, D.C. was in ruins. And foreign powers ruled over them. Folks, this faithful servant of God had suffered far more than we ever have. Oh, we may someday. But in a time of utter disaster, in a time when all of his prosperity was gone, in a time when his nation was destroyed and his city was burned with fire, we come down to verse 21. And the prophet says, "This I recall to mind." And that word, recall, is a word that means turn back to. It's a word that means return to. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. My retirement funds are not my portion. My home is not my portion. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor and rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. He says, my portion is Jehovah. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Folks, it does not matter what happens to our nation. It does not matter what crazy rules and laws are put in place. It does not matter what persecution or destruction we may someday endure, or our children and grandchildren may someday endure. If the Lord is our portion, we have hope, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We saw there in reference in the first chapter of Jeremiah that God said, before you were born, I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. And yet we find that in Jeremiah 27 and verse 6, God is talking about Nebuchadnezzar, who brought the destruction on Jerusalem. And God calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. Jeremiah was God's servant. But God says, this wicked king that brought destruction on your land, he is also my servant. Mm. Folks, it doesn't matter what happens in our society. even the evil men that bring evil on us could be the servants of God for his purposes. But if we call this to mind, therefore we have hope. Because it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. For his mercies fail not. Great is his faithfulness. And so, folks, in a time of utter destruction, utter disaster, we have hope in the Lord. But not only was Jeremiah a prophet who lived in a time of utter disaster, Jeremiah was a man who felt deserted and deceived. And even felt deserted and deceived by God. Did you follow there as we read? Look at verse 8. Also when I cry and shout, this is in chapter 3, verse 8. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayers. God, spare our nation, where are you? Why don't you hear, O Lord? But God said, no. God shuts out the prayers. Verse 9. He hath enclosed me with, he hath enclosed my way with hewn stones. He hath made my path crooked. That word hewn stones is important. It's not just that it's a rocky way. It's that Jeremiah says, God set the rocks. They're hewn stones that he set in my way. Verse 10, he was to me as a bear lying in wait. Verse 11, he hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. This prophet of God felt like God had forsaken him. Did you ever feel that way? Did you ever feel like, God, why don't you hear my prayers? Lord, if thy people which are called by thy name shall humble themselves and pray and seek thy face and turn from their wicked ways, you'll hear from heaven. Lord, why aren't you hearing? Lord, why aren't you answering my prayer? Lord, why is it I feel so deserted and forsaken? And not only did Jeremiah feel deserted and forsaken of man, he was all alone. God said, Jeremiah, you can't marry. You're not allowed to take a wife. God said that Jeremiah says, my friends, they've turned away from me. They've forsaken me. What is the solution when we feel like our prayers aren't being answered? And what is the solution when we feel like God has forsaken us? When we feel like all is gone astray and there is none for our help? This I recall to mind. Lord, I've prayed, and you haven't answered my prayer. God, where are you? This I recall to mind. Get your mind back on the Lord and off of the problems. Get your mind back on the great God and not the winds and waves around you, Peter. Take your eyes off the winds and waves and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Right after this godly prophet pours out his heart in complaint to God, God gives him the answer because this is inspired scripture. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. He's still compassionate. Oh, but God, you're putting hewn stones in my way. Oh, but God, you're as a bear lying in wait. Oh God, you've torn me in pieces. No, his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. And so Jeremiah was a prophet who lived in a time of great disaster. And he, just like we, at times when he felt utterly forsaken, utterly alone, remember Elijah? Lord, they've thrown down thine altars. And I only am left alone. God says, no, you're not alone. You're not alone. Jeremiah was a man who endured disease. Look at verses 3 and 4. Or chapter 3, verse 4. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. You know, folks, when we're feeling well, it's much easier to be confident in the Lord. Yeah. When we're on a bed of affliction, it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
When when we feel fit and strong, like a 25-year-old man. You guys remember being 25 years old? Woo! Conquer the world! Come on, world, I'll punch in the nose! But boy, the years start getting on and your strength starts failing. And you say, Lord, I'm tired. My knees hurt. There's disease in my body, oh Lord. Lord, I don't feel strong anymore. Lord, if I just felt well, if my stomach didn't hurt, if there wasn't this pain in my body, then, Lord, I could rejoice. Then, Lord, I could be on top of the world. Lord, I could do so much for your kingdom if you would just take this sickness away from me. But it weighs on me. It holds me down. It holds me back. It grieves my soul. And it even causes me to doubt the goodness of the Lord. My flesh and my skin hath God made old. Lord, why'd you give me these wrinkles? Penny and I were talking the other day, and I had short sleeves on. I said, look how creepy my skin's looking. You know, it's getting spotty and wrinkly, and, you know, I'm starting to get old man skin. I very dearly loved my grandfather and spent many wonderful hours in the barn with Granddad. I remember his skin. I remember looking at Granddad's arm when I was 10 years old, and he was my age. And he had creepy skin. And now I have creepy skin. Jeremiah knew physical sickness. He knew what it was to have disease. Job made a similar statement in Job chapter 16, verse 8. Thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which are a witness against me, and my leanness rising up in my bearing witness to my face. And we read our responsive reading from Psalm 38. Let me read to you again just a few verses from Psalm 38, verse 5. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. Jeremiah knew sickness. But look again at our key verses, at verses 23 to 24. He says in verse 21 of chapter 3 of Lamentation, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The hope's not gone entirely. My faith has not failed. I still have hope in the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Mm-hmm. What is it that sickness does to us? It consumes us. And folks, that word consumed, I would love to spend the whole sermon on it, but we're just going to spend a minute or two. This word consumed is the same word that's used in Numbers 14, verse 32 and following. This is when the children of Israel rebelled and would not go into the promised land. And God said, you're going to die in the wilderness. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. And that word wasted is the same word consumed. After the number of the days which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquity, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. God said to them, my promise is not going to stand for you because of your sin. Verse 35, And the Lord said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in the wilderness. They shall be consumed. They shall die. Because of their unbelief, they did not believe in the Lord. All of Israel from 20 years older was consumed in the wilderness, except for Joshua, Caleb, and Moses. Mm-hmm. And Moses didn't make it the promised land either. They were consumed. Why? Because of unbelief. But look it back to the promise there in Lamentation 3. You have sickness in your body that is consuming you. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's of God's mercies that we don't suffer the same fate of the unbelievers who were consumed in the wilderness. It's of His mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not, even when I'm at my sickest. God's compassions don't fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Jeremiah was a man who knew great and heavy depression.
Yeah.
Folks, I think all of us have dark days. I know that some of us at times are just overwhelmed by depression.
Yeah.
The sun is shut out. The heavens are as brass. We cannot look up. The prophet Jeremiah knew that same depression. Look at verse 2 of Lamentation chapter 3. He, that is God, He hath brought me into darkness and not into light. Verse 6, He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. Verse 8, also when I cry and shout, He shutteth out my prayer. But verse 44, we didn't read earlier, but verse 44, Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayers should not pass through. That's a man that's depressed. That's a man whose spirit is beaten down. That is a man who is trying to pray and he said, why am I trying to pray? God's not hearing me. The entrance of thy word giveth light, but I read thy word and I walk in darkness. Oh God, help me. Lift me out of this, God. Psalm 142, verse 4. The psalmist said, I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel that way? No man cares for my soul. I am all alone. I am overcome. Psalm 69:20, reproach hath broken my heart. I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, and there was none, for comforters, and I found none. Psalm 22, verse 2, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night seasons am I not silent. Job 30, verse 20, I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. Jeremiah's mind is in a bad place. Jeremiah's mind is in utter darkness. This is a man that's depressed. But look at verse 21, chapter 3 of Lamentation, verse 21. This I recall to my mind. I bring it back to my mind. I turn back to the unfailing promises of God. This I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. What is hope? Oh, it's the opposite of depression. Yeah? Hope and depression are opposites. Depression is the lack of hope. Hope dispels depression. This I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Folks, I should be consumed in hell right this moment. The moment I was born, God should have taken the breath out of me and sent me to hell. Because I was born a sinner. And since the moment I was born, I have compiled by truckloads my own iniquity. I have compiled by trainloads the reasons that God should condemn me to an eternal hell. But just like Jeremiah, before he formed me in the belly, he knew me. Before I cameth forth, he ordained me a prophet to the nations. And so this godly servant of the Lord, very, very depressed. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Jeremiah was a man who felt detained. And we're following the D's here on this, folks. So detained was the best I could come up with. He felt trapped. He felt fenced in. There's no way out of my problems. I want to ask you to raise your hand if you ever felt like there's no way out of your problems. Because I know every hand would go up and the camera would be blinking because people watching the live stream would be raising their hands. Oh, how many times we felt so trapped, so detained. Lord, there's no hope. How am I getting... Remember Jeremiah when he was cast into the dungeon of Micaiah? And they let him down with cords and he sank into the mire? He felt pretty trapped. Look with me at verses 7 and 9 of Lamentation chapter 3. Verse 7 of chapter 3. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He felt trapped. He hath made my chain heavy. He can give me a chain to drag around. It's heavy. Verse 9. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stones. He hath made my paths crooked. This is a man who felt like he was hopeless. He felt like there was no way out of his problems. He was a man who felt detained. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, verse 11 through 13, withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to my help. That's Psalm 40, verses 11 through 13, if you're taking notes. Jeremiah felt trapped. He felt hedged in. But then in the same chapter, he says in verse 21, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What is the proof that great is his faithfulness? Well, Jeremiah knew a truth that, of God's word that wasn't even written yet. Jeremiah knew a truth of inspired scripture before God thought to write. Well, God, I'm sorry, before God wrote it, had it written down. It wasn't that God thought, it was in God's mind from eternity. It's forever settled in heaven, as his word is. But before God inspired one of his servants to write down the truth, Jeremiah already knew 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will also with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Jeremiah felt trapped. God says, no, there's always a way of escape. And that word temptation, we often think of as temptation to sin, which it is indeed temptation to sin and applicable there. But more specifically, what Paul was talking about was great trials, great temptations, great troubles. God will make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it.
That's right.
The escape doesn't always mean that God will totally remove the problem. But God will make a way for us to bear it. And so, this man who felt detained said, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Jeremiah was a man who endured derision. You know, being mocked is a hard thing. To have people making fun of you. To have someone ridicule you. You know, you do something silly and you don't want anybody to see it. Do you ever see your cat get embarrassed? Those of you that have cats, a cat can get so embarrassed. You know, that we feel that way sometimes. The world is making fun of me. I'm a derision. I'm being mocked. Look at verse 14 of Lamentation chapter 3. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. In other words, the children made funny songs about me. They made fun of me. Chapter 3, verse 36, further down the chapter. Behold, they're sitting down and they're behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. They sing songs about me. They make fun of me. They delight in my suffering. Chapter 20 of Jeremiah, verse 7, not the book we're in, but the book of Jeremiah. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Every one mocketh me. Ever feel like you're being mocked and made fun of by the world? But here in the same passage, he says, this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. David had the same complaint in Psalm 69:12. They that sit at the gate speak against me, and I am the song of drunkards. Job said, now am I their song, yea, I am their byword. But the Lord is my portion. You know what? If Jehovah is my portion, it doesn't matter what the world thinks of me. If Jehovah is my portion, it doesn't matter what the world says about me. Yeah. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in Him. I will trust in Him in spite of all. Just to review quickly, Jeremiah was a man who lived in a time of utter disaster. He was a man who felt deserted. He was a man who endured disease. He was a man who had great depression. He was a man that experienced derision. And number 7, Jeremiah was a man who expressed his doubts. Don't raise your hand on this one. Have you ever doubted the Lord? Don't raise your hand. Or should I say, if you've never doubted, doubted the Lord, raise your hand and see how many liars we have. Yeah. This is a man that God said when he was 17, 16 years old, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came as forth, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. This is the man who God used to write 2 books of the Bible. This was a man who endured all kinds of problems and trials in his life. He faced far more than you and I have ever faced and by God's grace will ever face. He's a man of clay. He's a man who expressed doubts. In Jeremiah 20, verse 7, I read this verse a few moments ago, but in the first part of the verse, he says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. Did you ever say that? God, this just isn't fair. Don't ask my wife if I've ever said that, because she'll tell you the truth. Lord, this isn't fair. God, why is this, Lord? It's not right. Lord, it shouldn't be this way. Lord, where are your promises? Lord, if I'm doing your will, why am I suffering this? Folks, take heart. For the strongest of the prophets have had the same weakness as we do. Mm-hmm. He expressed his doubts. In Jeremiah 15, verse 18, Jeremiah says, why is my pain perpetual? He wasn't just talking about physical pain. He's talking about internal spiritual pain. But why is my pain perpetual? I think some of us could memorize that verse. Lord, why is my pain perpetual? And my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou altogether be unto me a liar? So Jeremiah said, wilt thou altogether be unto me a liar? And as the waters that fail. Lord, are you going to be a liar to me? Jeremiah was a man who expressed doubts. I often think of Moses, when Moses was sent to the children of Israel to deliver them from Egypt. And he goes to Pharaoh and he says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh's response was to take away their straw and to still make them make the same amount of bricks. And in the people rise up to stone Moses. "Why didn't you just leave us alone? We were slaves, but it was okay. Now it's worse, Moses. You're just stirring up trouble for us, Moses. Moses, go away." And in Exodus 5, verses 22, Moses returned to the Lord and said unto the Lord, "Wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Lord, why did you send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil unto this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." Moses said to God, "You have not delivered your people at all." I remember 6 or 7 years into our ministry in Jamaica, I read this verse and it just grabbed me by the heart. "Lord, you haven't delivered this people at all. Lord, we've seen so few saved. We've seen so few lives changed. Lord, we have given our lives to this work. Where are your promises?" It was a very discouraging day as a missionary of about 30 years old. "Lord, since we came to Jamaica, you haven't delivered your people at all." But God was doing his work. God was fulfilling his promises. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. And so Jeremiah expressed his doubts. But then he says, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him." You see, folks, Jeremiah was a man. He suffered all the same trials that you and I face, plus about 100 more. And yet God had taught his soul to return to him again and again and again. Like a homing pigeon that comes home every night. "This I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Ah, he should have taken the breath out of my lungs today. Because today I doubted him. Because today I felt trapped. Because today my sickness just pulled me down. Because today it was more than I could take. But it is of his mercies that we are not consumed. Folks, we have problems. But I don't think any of us have problems like the prophet Jeremiah. And so, James 5:10, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Behold, we count them happy that endure." We have the examples in Scripture, and we count them happy. We hold up Jeremiah as a faithful man of God, in spite of all the failings we've seen this morning. "We count them happy that endure," which endure. "Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord." God's way, God's end is perfect. "That the Lord is very full of pity and of tender mercies. Great is thy faithfulness." Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for the glory and the faithfulness of thy word. May your Spirit apply thy word to our hearts. Lord, as we live through this week to come and face trials, may we recall this to mind when Satan whispers doubts in our ears. Bless thy truth to our hearts in Jesus' name.